Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
1 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you hanging out on a Wednesday. Appreciate you guys for joining us. As always, you can watch the show on video, wherever you social, right? Twitter, X, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Check out the show there. Cody's rocking a 96.5 The Fan hat. A lot of people always ask whenever somebody from the station is wearing one of these, how do I get one? Honestly,
they were on my desk.
On launch day when we switched to 96.5 The Fan, we were handed the hats, and I don't think they're for sale or anything, but it's good to know eventually if we get more of a store set up, maybe these will be popular. I don't know. People like them.
It does seem like it's a very popular hat. It's 47 branded for what it's worth. It's a trucker style hat. One of only two I own.
I'll sell mine. I don't wear hats.
Cutting Gold garage sale?
Maybe garage sale item. Yeah. Or just, you know.
For the Alex Gold charity fund?
I don't know. We'll put in the show fund or something. We're just going to start the bidding and we're just going to just have it go all the way up and see how much you're willing to pay for a 96.5 The Fan hat.
I mean, limited edition. I can tell you that.
I've only worn it like once because I don't wear hats. So.
Have you worn it at all?
I think, well, I mean, obviously, when we first got it, I think I put it on. But I don't, I don't wear hats. So, Drew, I haven't seen you wear it. You're not a, you wear hats, but it's not that one.
He's a backwards hat guy.
You, get one, you got that shirt, that,
no,
that
no,
shirt,
I do
right?
wear hats.
That
hat. I've got the shirt in the car right now, actually. Yes. I have worn it.
The shirts we have handed out, and I think there'll be other opportunities for people to get the shirts. The hats, limited edition. You know?
I still think Drew's going to have to give away his Cody and Gold shirt. Says it was only an undershirt. He's only sticking it under hoodies. No one can see it.
I mean, at this point, Cody, it's also kind of that for me, or like a night, like I'll throw it at night, or if it's.
But
like,
you've had, first, it has your name on it, which makes it weirder.
True.
It has your name on it. True. Doesn't have, you know, like that changes the math.
It's also.
And yours is like 5-6 years old.
Yeah, now. It was a medium. That doesn't work anymore. You know, we've grown up here. You know,
we got a few more in the back of the car. You want to check for a large for you?
Yeah, the medium does not fit. Like the medium I have to wear at night because it, like the sleeves cut off up here. Like we've put we've gained a little weight since 2001 or 2001. Well, that too, but 2021.
Both
are accurate statements. Yes. I've also we've all gained some weight since 2001.
I've also gotten taller since 2001 as well. I was six years old.
Probably about the same height. I was like,
someone says they're starting the bid 16. At 85 cents. No, remember the rules. $9.65 is a requirement.
Right.
You know,
Nothing's going for less than that on this show.
That's the new baseline. Yeah. Has to be $9.65. Every Cody and Gold garage sale item next year will be at least $9.65 for charity, for a good cause. Just like Chris Jones is going to do that, which we'll get to. He has something.
He's also doing things.
I mean,
for
look to raise money. Maybe you guys would be willing to do that as well. I don't know. But we'll get to what Chris Jones is doing in just a bit. In the meantime, I want to talk about the trade deadline that wrapped up. It's behind us now. The Chiefs made their moves earlier. Yesterday, they were quiet, but we saw some other teams make some moves. I thought the Ravens move was interesting. They desperately needed defensive help with their defense really struggling to get anywhere near to the level they were a year ago. We know their offense is rolling. So they go and they trade for Tre'Davious White, former Bill. He's now on the Ravens.
No, that's fine.
It's a 2027 seventh rounder swapping with a 2026 seventh rounder. So it's not a significant trade from a compensation standpoint. They needed some help in the secondary. Okay, makes some sense. I was surprised Cincinnati didn't try to add defensive help if they actually believe they still truly are a playoff team. Buffalo already made their big move with Amari Cooper, as we know. I think once Marshawn Lattimore was off the board, the quarterback market, like Tre'Davious White, I would have been interested in Kansas City. I'm not usually big on this. I always get frustrated when a player gets traded, and a lot of Chiefs fans will be like, "How come we didn't trade for the player?" Usually, I push back on that. This is one of those times where I'm like, "Huh, I wonder
for a seventh 2 years from now."
Yeah, like I'm like, "Huh, Tre'Davious White." He's on a one-year deal. He's making like $1.2 million, so it's half a mil now or less. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have minded, you know, some depth behind Joshua Williams or to work his way in there. I know Nazi Johnson's coming back.
Nazi Johnson's coming back. Unlikely Jalen Watson's coming back this year. It's not out of the question, but it's also not, I wouldn't call it likely at this point. It's more likely, obviously, Hollywood Brown returns, I think, probably at this point than Jalen Watson, just based on the nature of the injury. And more importantly, when the injuries took place, I'm fine. The only corner I wanted them to trade for was if I knew they were definitively better than the people in the room. And I know the initial response from Chiefs fans is, are you seriously going to tell me here that Tre'Davious White, who was at probably the peak of his powers, at the very least a Pro Bowler, I haven't looked. I wouldn't be surprised if he was an All-Pro a couple of times. Actually,
one-time All-Pro, I think, Tre'Davious White, or three-time
All-Pro. Two-time. First-team All-Pro, three-time All-Pro in general. He was a second-team All-Pro a different year. That was 4 years ago. Since then, Tre'Davious White has played in a combined 24 games.
And he can't stay healthy. That's why the Bills got rid of him.
Four seasons.
But I'm still saying, a mid-season acquisition, I'm not really paying anything for him. I would not have mind to add a veteran to the cornerback room. I mean, I just don't think
he's better than what they have. I don't think he's better than Roland Wallace. Yeah. I know that's a wild.
How bad is it for the Ravens then? They made the trade. How bad is their secondary? I understand we have Trent McDuffie here. They don't. But
they let up the most passing yards in the entire NFL. It's worse.
I know.
You might not like the Chiefs secondary, but it's worse.
Well, the Chiefs are just a better defense as a whole. So, of course, my point being is just like, if we're talking about Jalen Watson's done for the season, Nazi Johnson's going to be back this week, it looks like, and then it's Josh Williams. I don't know why. Like, I understand that, hey, if you're going to trade for someone, he needs to be better than one of the guys. Sure, but like, I don't know why it would be bad to have Tre'Davious White as my third corner in case, I don't know, Nazi Johnson gets hurt again or Josh Williams gets hurt again. That's the reason why I came to mind, made the trade. It's not like some terrible thing not to go trade for him. I was just like, okay, that's all it would have taken. Would have been interested. That's all.
I mean, I wouldn't say, like, it's one of those, like, am I going to turn my nose up? Dude, it would have been a 2 years from now, seventh round pick. I would not have come on the air and been like, what are you doing? Tre'Davious White is fried. Well, there's a reason why he's available for a seventh round pick 2 years from now. Yeah, even the Ravens are somewhat admitting he's cooked. Look at the Rams are. Somebody is. If that is the value they're giving up. But, the one thing I'll say is, and Kareem Hunt maybe has changed my mind on this, or DeAndre Hopkins this year. Change of scenery could help White. Just getting on a team that's good matters. And look, he's not coming from a bad team. He was on the Rams. But like being on a first place in their division. Are they in the first place in the division? No, they're in second place in the division. In their team. But, you know, the Ravens are one of the Super Bowl contenders out of that end. Somebody said Jalen Watson had a mystery tweet yesterday.
Mischievous. Thank you.
I didn't see anything. Last tweet I see from him was... he was retweeting a next-gen stat about Marshawn Lattimore that also included his name on the list. So, I mean...
Yeah, the only thing, he said, told you Spags can cook anytime you want.
He said, throw it 32, told you Spags can cook, and then he retweeted one next-gen stat thing yesterday that suggested he has been as good as Marshawn Lattimore from a efficiency standpoint this year. The top five corners in that particular stat when the nearest defender, Jalen Johnson, Renardo Green, Lattimore, and Jalen Watson. I mean, Watson was playing good football. That's why he was a tough loss for Kansas City. And look, I know that people are going to be like, maybe they found a weakness in the Chiefs defense because they actually got exposed a little bit by Baker Mayfield. We'll get that answer more in the next couple of games, not what happened in one game against the Buccaneers. Maybe you're right. Maybe, that's a player that should have targeted. It didn't panic me. I still think the single best move any team who was in contention made was Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted him here until D-Hop. Everybody was bummed out when Amari Cooper didn't get traded here. Then they got D-Hop. Yeah, in reference to the tweet, he deleted it. Multiple people on the text line. Someone said Matt Verderam even responded to it. He responded to a guy that said he's out for the year. He responded with, who told you that? So he was trying to leave the window, the door opened, that maybe he comes back in the playoffs or something.
Or maybe he said, who told you that? Because, that's private information. I am out for the year.
I would hope he realizes that they've already said that. I'm guessing it was more of a, he thinks he still can come back, kind of like the whole Vinny thing. You know, it's like, oh, what do you mean I'm out? What do you mean
I'm out? I still can't believe Vinny made it back as quick as he did. The wild card series?
Yeah, that was wild, Cody.
It was a surprising result. Mm-hmm. That's all. Speaking of wide receivers and corners and everything else in between, I was thinking more about this, and I maybe it was like a month, right after the injury to Hollywood Brown. So during the preseason gold, when they were missing wide receivers early, you had brought up something, and you weren't the only one. Some other Chiefs fans were like, you know what? Maybe he comes back on a one-year deal, and you at least set yourself up for the future with Hollywood Brown, where you buy yourself another year, maybe Rasheed's suspended, blah, blah, blah. Why don't we have that same energy for Hopkins? Far, far, far more interested. If I could just pluck a wide receiver for 1 year as a stopgap in the receiver unit right now, in retaining DeAndre Hopkins more than retaining Hollywood Brown. Maybe because that's because I only got to watch a single pass from Hollywood Brown, but I also think it's because I've watched their entire career. And DeAndre Hopkins possesses something I haven't seen a Chiefs wide receiver possess in a long time. I've seen players like Hollywood Brown come in and out of this damn system. I want a player like Hopkins who possesses a different skill set.
Sure. And yes, I do think some of it is we just saw DeAndre Hopkins have a great game of, you know, 86 yards and two touchdowns. So that doesn't hurt. I think there's some of that going on. But of course you'd entertain it. If he continues to have the same rapport that it looks like he already has with Mahomes, if he stays healthy, I would imagine there would be mutual interest. The only, if I'm playing devil's advocate, would be the age thing. Typically, the Chiefs don't sign free agents that are going to be 33 years old. They sign guys in-house that are that old, but your name must be Chris Jones, not even Chris Jones yet, Travis Kelce. Other than that, they really don't have a track record of doing that. Occasionally, they'll bring in like a Mike Pinnell type that's a little bit older or something like that, but not usually a wide receiver for what it might cost. And Mike Pinnell is just now only 33. So Mike Pinnell might be one of the oldest guys on the team, honestly, and that's at 33 years old. Him and Kelce.
So you know they're still one of the youngest teams in the league, even with DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, one of the youngest offensive lines still in football as well. So look, if DeAndre Hopkins has the rest of the season that we hope he has, then it'll absolutely be something every Chiefs fan is clamoring for. I would still be interested in Hollywood Brown, though. Like, you look at the wide receiver room next year where Rasheed Rice is going to be, we think, suspended. So if he's gone till end of October, let's say, look at your wide receiver room. Worthy, under contract. So Worthy, Rice out for, let's call it, six games next year.
End of list. Justin Watson might have a year left on the season.
This is it, I think, for him, too. So I think, double check me on that one. I thought he signed a 2-year deal. I thought he signed a 2-year deal. Oh, you know what? He might have signed a 2-year deal with now or something. Anyway, point being, it's then, man. And so you need a receiver or two back anyway. And we always thought it would be Hollywood Brown, free agent. There you go. So I think it'll be interesting, too, because if D-Hop has the year we think he has, is somebody else willing to go out there and give him 1 year for like $14 or $15 million? I don't think the Chiefs are giving 1 year $14 or $15 million to a 33-year-old wide receiver.
But if it's like 1 for 10 for Hollywood, that's what it was this year. So let's just say it's the same. And it's 1 for 15 for Hopkins. 1 for 15, please.
I don't think they'll do it.
Just because the age? I'm just wondering.
This organization has shown us. Dude.
I know, but like it's also the reason you and I didn't talk about DeAndre Hopkins as much at the trade deadline as we did other wide receivers.
We thought financially they couldn't pull
it off. Yeah, and I also thought age. I thought the rules might apply to age. They have not targeted older players very often. It's pretty rare, as you've pointed out. I think they might make an exception for DeAndre Hopkins in that case.
I mean, if he finishes with 800 yards in Kansas City and they win a Super Bowl with him, it's going to be awfully tough to say not to bring him back.
The only question I guess left is, does DeAndre Hopkins have one more multi-year contract left? That would be my bigger concern. Is there one more team willing to give a 33-year-old DeAndre Hopkins a multi-year deal? My guess is probably no. I mean, that's got to make him one of the oldest wide receivers in the league. Travis Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins are the two active leaders in receptions in the NFL. They're two of the oldest players available.
Yeah.
How old's Justin Watson? Feels like he's been in the league for a billion.
Justin Watson?
Yeah, is he 30?
I guess he's 29, but I could be wrong.
They're always like, every time I think an NFL
28,
player.
He'll be 29 in April. 28 years
every time
old.
I think an NFL player must be, every time I think an NFL player must be like 34, they're always like 27. I'm like, that can't be right. How long have you been playing in this league?
So he's 28.
Adam Thielen, by the way, is the oldest wide receiver in the league.
That sounds about right.
Followed by Keenan Allen and then DeAndre Hopkins. So, I mean, he is the third oldest wide
receiver. One of those is not like the others.
Well, I mean, statistically, before this last game with Kansas City, he was just like the others. Differences.
No, but I just
one of those guys got on a good team.
Just say the names out loud. DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, and you said, who was the other one? Adam Thielen? Like here, yeah, you know, Adam Thielen had a very good season a year ago, to your point. But DeAndre Hopkins also had 1,000 yards too.
If you're 32 and in the league, you can still play a little bit, typically.
Yeah.
You don't usually stick around. That's why Devontae Adams is on this list. He's also 32. No, Odell Beckham.
I'm just saying, like, say the names out loud. DeAndre Hopkins, Adam Thielen, and Keenan Allen. One name sounds way different to me than the rest.
That's trying to think about, like, based on that age, have any of them gotten a contract recently? Like a multi-year deal? Devontae Adams got one last year. He's 32, so who'd he gotten a multi-year deal? 31? Like, Tyler Lockett's not getting a multi-year deal. Mike Evans just got a deal. He's 31. I mean, maybe it's not crazy. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins got a multi-year deal coming his way.
The way you could pull off a one-year deal, I think it's early to be having the conversation, but, like, it would be that Hollywood only plays a game or two, and so next year there isn't much of a market other than one-year deals, and the Chiefs are able to bring him back for even less money than they paid him this year because he doesn't play. And so next year you go into the season not seeing anything from Hollywood as a Chief, really, and he signs a $7 to $9 million contract, and then maybe you're able to work something out with DeAndre Hopkins as well. And then you go into next season with D-Hop, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy, and then by November, Rice is with you. Oh, okay, that sounds pretty darn good to me, guys. And you draft someone in the third round at wide receiver? Oh, we're good.
I did see a recent mock that had Luther Burden falling to him at 32.
Yes. He's not falling at 32. I know he had a disappointing season. It's Eli Drinkwitz's fault. Brady Cooks not staying healthy. By the time the combine happens, people will fall in love with Luther Burden again. He will be a top 15 pick.
Once he starts running and jumping,
he'll be a top 15 pick.
Super high.
Don't you guys think he'll get back in the top? He was going to be a top five pick. He's not falling to 32.
He'll be top 20 at the very worst.
If he's there at 32, just stealing again.
He'll be there at
just
top
stealing.
He'll be top 20 at the least, at the worst.
Honest to God, if he's still sitting around at 25, trade up again.
Something also went terribly wrong for him at the combine if he's there on the 25.
Is Travis Hunter still the projected number one overall pick, or is it Shadur?
Quarterback's going to go one.
It's definitely. Travis has been mocked. If you look at a mock draft, Travis Hunter's the mock.
Because right now the Patriots are one, and they're not going to mock draft a trade out of there, probably. But
A quarterback will end up going one. But yes, the mocks.
He's the best overall player in the draft.
Who's the wide receivers that are above Luther Burden if he's not, you know, because people thought going into the year, the kid from Arizona or whatever.
His name's not eligible to come out yet. The Ohio State receiver, right? He can't.
Or Ryan Williams.
Yeah,
they're both true freshmen.
They're a freshman, so they can't.
Omega Egbuka from Ohio State has been higher than Burden.
Doesn't Texas have another receiver?
Isaiah Bond.
Yeah. Maybe that's the name.
I think Burden and Bond are around the same, I guess, spot, I guess. Somebody from, like, there's guys at Oregon, Evan Stewart, Tez Johnson.
Too early for draft stuff. Bink's going to text me now. See what we've done. Bink's going to text me now and be like, you guys, you're forgetting.
We should have played the mock draft sounder, if we were going to do that.
Yeah, I found the official list. Yeah, Isaiah Bond was listed at 6, Burden 5, Ty Felton at Miami of Ohio, and then Trey Harris at Ole Miss.
Dude,
Trey Harris is another really good one. He had five touchdowns on Saturday?
Did he really?
When they played Arkansas?
College numbers are stupid sometimes. As of right now, Tankathon's official mock draft has Luther Burden going 13th.
I could see.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
There you go.
They don't need to draft a wide receiver at one.
Are you sure?
They're
only going to have Jamar.
It doesn't matter. They need their defense stinks. They need a defensive lineman in the worst way. Mason Graham from Michigan. Give me him.
I'll let you Cincinnati fans focus
on
the draft already.
He's on three on this list. You're dreaming.
Things go really bad for Cincy. And they end up with five wins, Cody.
It was Jordan Watkins at Ole Miss. Had 8 catches for 254 yards and 5 touchdowns.
I think this is why I don't like
five touchdowns?
This is why I don't
254
like
yards
sports.
In one game and 5 touchdowns.
It's not even hunting for sport. It would be like hunting a deer, but it's like chained to a tree. Like, that's college football sometimes. Sometimes it's not even an effort to, like, just absolutely mash a team.
They were playing Arkansas, though. This is an in-conference game. True. I mean, that was still, though, that is an egregious stat line.
You had mentioned earlier, Chris Jones is getting ready to do a reality television benefit for cancer awareness called the Full Monty.
The real Full Monty.
I cannot believe that this is real.
It's real. It's the real Full Monty. It's to raise money for testicular cancer, prostate cancer as well. So it's a great cause. And this is the promo for Fox. This is what it actually sounds like on December the 9th a show that they already recorded that Chris Jones, along with a few other celebrities, is part of.
Welcome to the real Full Monty!
For one night only.
One night only.
Six celebrities will bear it all.
My God, it's just out there! It's going to be a very warm room.
For a great cause.
To bring awareness to cancer.
Let's rain, man.
The two-hour special event you just can't miss. The Real Full Monty, Monday, December 9th, only on Fox.
My mother was in the audience.
So if there's media photos, it's up on our Twitter account, or my Twitter account, Alex Gold. You can see what they're going for here. And Chris Jones agreed to do it. I think they filmed it in the summertime or something because... It's airing in December and it's already done. So as he maybe or on some random other day he did it. But
do you think he's fully nude in that?
No. I think they are.
And they just blur him out?
The full yes. Monty.
I think he might be fully nude.
If you look at the photos, so they're wearing a robe initially, and then it shows them like slinging off this like the underwear. So unless they're wearing
unless
socks,
like a pasty, but
unless they're all like wearing a sock. Drew.
No, they don't.
Otherwise,
I don't think they're wearing a sock.
And as Cody reminded us, that sock might have to be a little bit bigger for some.
Chris Jones goes to his kneecap.
If that's the case, then, it's for charity, Cody.
Would you do this for charity? For the Cody and Gold garage sale in a room with, let's just say, like 20 people.
That's even more awkward.
Oh, the more people, the better,
actually.
Wait, how is that better?
Oh, yeah,
it's too personal otherwise?
Yeah, like if you told me you had to go full Monty with 10 people in the room.
Or 10,000.
10,000. 10 is way more awkward.
10,000 people, dude.
Yeah, so 10 is way worse. 10 is way worse. 10 is way worse because no, 10 is way worse than 10,000. And in this case, he's doing it in front of millions of people.
I need other people's opinion on that. 913-586-7965. If you had to be nude in front of a group of people, is it better for 10 or 10,000?
I'll be honest.
In that setting.
I guess it depends.
Is it 10 people I know or is it strangers either way?
If it's strangers either way,
the answer is 10. If it's 10 of my close family and friends, the answer is 10,000.
Spot them in 10,000. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think the number changes depending on the, if they're strangers.
It doesn't matter what you're packing. That was going to look like a thimble by comparison.
That was me referencing
in about 5 seconds.
The other people who agreed to this besides Chris Jones.
Those are the ankle cut sock. Not going to get it done. Not going to get it done, Drew.
Oh, my gosh. They're not putting... There's no way...
Somebody said Chris Jones, he's going to need a wind sock from the airport.
Oh, my gosh. That's too much.
Pretty famous combine moment. Yeah, from Chris Jones.
So Chris Jones was asked about this actually the other day.
What are you talking about, the full money? Look at you. it was bring awareness to cancer and making sure people are aware of the effect that cancer has on individuals and their lives. I was affected by cancer, my high school basketball coach, and for me it was a great cause, so I went full Monty.
How much did you enjoy doing it?
It was amazing, man. I mean, it's not like the world haven't seen me full Monty before. So I think it was good for what it was good for, right?
Like everyone else, he doesn't seem to fit in with the rest of the people they had selected for it.
Not at all.
But it's he has a very famous moment in which this already happened to him.
Yeah.
Like he said,
I think it's hilarious that the Chiefs football player is involved in this.
This
is unbelievable. December 9th.
Teammates joke about this?
I'm sure they're going to give him crap for this.
These text
line says definitely 10,000 people because the people past the first five rows wouldn't be able to see anything.
And a 10,000 seat arena.
I just think it's 10,000 because at that point there's so many people you just you don't know.
It is what it is.
Yeah, 10 is way more awkward because they're right there. You can hear their commentary.
There were 10 people in here, no way.
Yeah.
No chance. And we'd have to put you off camera, I imagine.
Yeah, and Texline's correct. Yes, I understand why they may have picked Chris Jones as well and why he's so confident. Thank you.
You just look down and you see some of the faces of the people in pure shock, or they're just cheering.
Watch the trailer, judges or whatever were, seemed like they were shocked.
They're judging?
A host of the show or something.
I was about to say.
Judging.
That would be.
That's different.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Plus, we talked with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, a little bit earlier on today. We asked him about the trade deadline and also just how the Chiefs are doing this at 8-0 and what's one thing they're going to have to improve on.
What's trending? It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ending. What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on What's Trending, Andy Reid gave us a little update on the injury front today. When you heard him and Andy Reid right here on 96.5 The Fan, Juju Smith-Schuster and Turk Ward not practicing today. Juju had still had a hamstring injury from a couple weeks ago for Turk Ward, and that's a new injury. Something to keep an eye on heading into Sunday's game against the Broncos. We also learned that everybody else was practicing, though. So that means Nazi Johnson's back in the mix. It means Mike Dana is back in the mix, which is obviously a good sign. Andy did say Isaiah Pacheco, Charles Omenihu are still day to day.
I mean, those are not surprising. Now, I've told you how I feel about Andy saying day to day. That is the biggest lie in sports. He said that once about a player who missed the rest of the season. But look, I think he's actually being somewhat truthful in the sense that they're week to week. They're not going to play this week. He pretty much made that clear. Juju is the most interesting one. Feels like if you didn't put him on IR, he should be back by at least next week. That injury is typically about 4 weeks. Next up on What's Trending, college football playoff rankings are out. For the first time this year, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, and Miami make up the top four. The locals, Kansas State was the closest at number 19, number 25 for Missouri. So they're long shots as it sits right now to get in the first ever college football playoff. But as it sits right now, a couple of small schools, Boise State, BYU, some of the non-traditional powers certainly in that mix as well.
Next up on What's Trending, for those of you in Missouri, a little bit closer to being able to make legal wagers in the state after Amendment 2 passed last night, really into this morning, very narrow margin, less than 7,500 votes is all it passed by for sports wagering in Missouri. As of this moment, it sounds like there's not going to be a recount requested from the other side. By the way, the no side, the PAC, there was money coming in from a, believe it or not, a sports a casino. So it makes sense that they're not going to try to push the issue and go for a recount despite the 7,500 vote margin. This means that next year, sports wagering should be implemented in Missouri. Timeline is to be determined. I'll have some more details on all that kind of stuff. What apps could be active tonight on that betting show from 6 to 7. But could be by March Madness. Safer bet is late summer or fall. As in the start of the football season. But we'll see. I know a lot of you have been going across the state line from Missouri to Kansas, and it's been in the works for a while, and last night it passed.
Kansas got to the faster end of that timeline, so everything's possible. Little NFL news. First, Mike Edwards. He was just a free agent yesterday. He's heading over to the Tennessee Titans to sign a one-year deal with them. Trevor Lawrence not practicing today with what Doug Peterson called an upper body injury. He could miss Sunday's game, according to Doug Peterson. An interesting note for at least next week, Keelan Coleman's not going to practice today. His coach then said, we'll see, not really sure, day to day, but then also put his, not just this week in jeopardy, in which he said he could play, also said it could be weeks. So Keelan Coleman might not play this week, but he also might not be available for the Chiefs coming up in 2 weeks.
That's true.
So an injury worth keeping an eye out on. Keelan Coleman not at practice for the Bills today.
That's what's trending on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, we had our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, joins us. He joins us every single Wednesday. It's always good to get a national perspective of what he's seeing from the Chiefs. And we started our conversation with Ross Tucker discussing DeAndre Hopkins, in particular, the catch he made. We all know which one we're talking about. Triple covered, a catch that we just haven't seen from a Chiefs wide receiver in a while.
No, there's a lot of different aspects of it too, right? Number one, the fact that Mahomes had the trust to throw it to him in that situation, and it was a beautiful throw by Mahomes as usual. But yeah, that they have a guy that has that type of body control and those type of hands. And it wasn't just that, obviously. I mean, he made several other plays throughout the game. You could tell how happy he was to be there, how happy he was to have a quarterback like Mahomes, to be able to play on a Monday night game like that, big game, big stage, and make those plays. You're right. It's pretty remarkable the Chiefs got him. I got to ask you guys, though, is it hard to be radio hosts ever? Like,
oh.
What do you guys even talk about? You know, I go on a lot of cities, okay, around the country, a lot of different Odyssey stations, and, you know, they always have issues. You know, they're always, should we fire this guy? Should we do this? Why aren't we doing this? And I know every Wednesday morning I'm on in Philadelphia for an hour.
Well, that's got to be the best.
They absolutely get more calls or more whatever when the team is struggling or things aren't good or they didn't make a move with the trade deadline. Like, what do people even do? Like, when you have a call, what do they call and say, hey, yeah, we're undefeated. There's nothing to complain about. Back to you guys. What is your job like?
So last year, first off, was perfect. Lose a bunch of random games, have a wide receiver unit that's no good, still win the Super Bowl, right? Dream scenario from a sports radio perspective. Now I'll say it goes one of two ways, Ross. Either they call and complain about a player getting playing time who I didn't even know was on the roster somewhere. Like, this guy should play more. I'm like, I don't even know who that is. Or I would say we just like make fun of people who are stupid enough to doubt the Chiefs are not the best team in the league and Mahomes is not the best quarterback.
Well, that I think is interesting. Yeah, I think it's funny that Mike Florio, who's a friend of mine, Pro Football Talk has the Lions number one in his power rankings. And I mean, whatever, you know, the good thing about the NFL is that none of our power rankings really matter other than the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Of course, of course.
Which is really what everybody's playing for every week. But no, I do think it's remarkable. I mean, it just is. And we talk about it a lot. And I go on with these other stations, like Buffalo yesterday or whatever. And the thing that's the most interesting to me is that, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I think over the last 5 years, the Chiefs have lost one-score playoff game, being to the Bengals. And, I mean, you'd have to look it up, but how many they've won.
I mean, every other one. Yeah.
Yeah, like every other one. Now, I don't know if they've all been one-score games, but
sure,
they've won every other playoff game. Obviously, they got blown out by the Bucs in the Super Bowl. But the point I would make is, go through the last 5 years and you look at every playoff game, and you know, the Green Bay Packers can point to five plays that if they went the other way, they would have beat the Niners in the divisional round. Same with the Lions and the Niners in the conference championship game. So the point is there's so many of these games where it's one play here, one play there. And it does seem like the teams with the greater pedigree, like the Niners and the Chiefs, win more than their fair share of those. But I guess I would just say, you know, having gone on in Buffalo every week on Tuesdays, I talk to the Baltimore guys a lot. They have MVP caliber quarterbacks.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Like they have really good teams, and yet they probably win like 50% of those, which seems reasonable. Like, you're in the playoffs. You're playing another good team with another good quarterback. It's a close game late. They should probably win about half. You should win about half. I think that's maybe the case with the Bengals, something like that. The rate at which the Chiefs win those games and then now win them in the regular season as well, I just keep thinking it's not sustainable. Someone was asking me the other day if I thought the Chiefs would win a third straight Super Bowl. And I said no, because I said at some point there's got to be some regression to the mean there, right? Like at some point, and I don't know that it helps them that they're winning all these regular season games like this by one score, because at some point they're not. You know, the guy's going to drop the ball like Valdes-Scantling did against the Eagles last year, or, you know, someone's not going to make the play, or the other team's going to make an incredible play. But I don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah, look, I mean, you said it, though. I mean, when they have to have a play, no matter how poorly they played in certain areas, when they have to have that big play, whether it's Butker with a kick, whether it's a big defensive goal line stand like they had against the Falcons early in the season, or obviously Mahomes leading a game-winning drive in overtime against Tampa, like they always get it. And I think it's a testament, one, to obviously some of the players I just mentioned. But then that go back to Andy Reid. I mean, this team is so prepared in these moments. They're at their best. And then it also helps if sometimes you have some coaches on the other side that just make bad decisions, like not going for two.
Well, totally agree with. Now, I think the more time there is on the clock, the more you shouldn't go for two, because speaking to what we're talking about, the Bucks go for two, right? 50-50. Let's say they get it. They're up by one. Well, then the Chiefs know they have to get a field goal, and they have four downs with which to do it. And, man, I mean, considering their third down conversion rate,
yeah, he was.
I think you'd have to feel pretty good about Mahomes converting on fourth down if you have an extra down to be able to do it. So it's interesting, because if you talk to people less than 30 seconds, they would say, some of the math people I've talked to, analytics guys, would say Bucks should have gone for two. More than 30 seconds, kick the extra point, because you don't want Mahomes and the Chiefs to have the ball in a have to get a field goal situation.
What do you
right?
mean?
Like it actually, yeah. They actually had a chance, because if the coin toss goes the other way, you know, the Bucks could have won the coin toss and maybe Baker takes them down for a touchdown, etc. But it's funny, because I was telling literally Buffalo yesterday. So I think I told you guys this before, but you know, I played for five teams and played with like a good quarterback, like Drew Bledsoe, and late in games, you kind of thought you were going to win because he's good. Then I went to New England, and it was, like, remarkable. You know, no matter what the situation was, even if we're down in the divisional round by a couple scores to Denver, like, everybody on the team still knew we were going to win that game. Now, by the way, we didn't. We lost that game. But it's hard to overstate the psyche. And I don't know how much of it's conscious, how much of it's subconscious, of having the quarterback like Mahomes and the demonstrated history. It's almost like those guys, when they get in those moments late, they just know they're going to win because that's what they do and that's what Mahomes does. And they've got the guy that always makes the right play. It becomes somewhat of like a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit. I think the belief in Mahomes is probably every bit as important as Andy having them so prepared.
Ross, which of the teams in the AFC, the fringe AFC teams, do you buy as being actual trouble for any of the rest of the AFC? So Chargers, Broncos, Colts, Bengals, Jets, I don't care who it is. Of those teams, is there anyone that you're like, well, I still view them as a real threat to the, let's say, the stalwarts, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens?
Yeah, I think it's the Bengals. Now, I think the Chargers are the other one, because they're doing some really good things on defense. You know, they're running it well. And I do think Herbert's a really good quarterback who has not always been as clutch as Mahomes has been late in games. And then it's the Bengals. Now, Bengals are going to have a major uphill climb even just to get there.
Yep.
Because I don't think they're going to beat the Ravens tomorrow night, and then they're in a really bad way. But you guys have seen it. We've all seen it. I mean, I've seen the Bengals go into Buffalo in the snow, and Joe Burrow just absolutely slice and dice the Bills, totally outplay Josh Allen in that game. And we, you know, they've come into Kansas City, and they've won an AFC Championship game. They've almost won another one. So I think it's the Bengals, but they got to get there. They got to get there first. So if I'm a Chiefs fan, I am rooting for the Bengals to lose every week because it seems like they have the one quarterback who is just so confident in himself that he does not think, and I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen think that they take a backseat to Mahomes, but I just think those guys are aware of Mahomes and they're just not as poised or able to play at the same level as Mahomes in those games. Burrow is like ice cold, man. Like Burrow is a bad, bad dude. It's crazy how calm he is, how confident he is. So if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, you're rooting for the Ravens on Thursday night. You're rooting to just get the Bengals out of there. So that's a team you don't have to worry about.
Last one for you, Ross, as we're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. You mentioned the Ravens. They're playing Thursday night. We know the Ravens just beat up on the Broncos. The Chiefs are hosting the Broncos on Sunday here in Kansas City. I'm never a believer in usually in trap games. I joke with Cody and Drew, our producer, a lot about that because I think everybody can just, nobody has a definition for what it is. So they just want to call it a trap game. They just call it a trap game.
It's a trap game, Ross.
Do you believe, one, trap games exist? You played. And two, do you think Sunday is that, knowing Buffalo's on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm not sure if trap game is the right way to describe it. I guess what I do believe, especially in college football, but to a little bit of a lesser extent in the NFL, I do believe that as much as you would think that it's easy to get to the same fevered pitch of emotion and motivation for every game, it's just not as easy as people think, right? You think, oh, it's only one game a week. They should be able to. It just, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to work that way. And so what I believe is there are times where consciously or subconsciously a team, you know, like a couple weeks ago, I did Ravens up Browns for CBS. You know, and the Browns are bad, and the Ravens are really good. And yet the Browns won the game. And Ravens made a bunch of critical errors. You know, they had played Monday night against the Bucs. They had played 82 snaps on defense. They looked a little bit tired. And so I think that can be a real thing. So I've been on it on both sides, right, where you're a team that's kind of on a roll. And I don't think players really look ahead. I mean, I think you'd be amazed how many guys in the Chiefs locker room don't even realize they play the Bills next week. I mean, really, you really would. I mean, it's truly unique. That said, I just think they played on Monday night, overtime, short week. Some of them definitely know what's coming the week after. And so maybe a little bit more of a letdown game than a trap game. I don't know, maybe it's just semantics. Okay.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, joined us earlier today. He joins us every Wednesday on Cody and Gold. Yeah, maybe we'll talk more tomorrow on the show about this idea of a trap game. I know we always joke about it between the three of us.
It's been a lot of the narratives.
But I will say, this game is as close to it. I just think none of us know the exact definition. So it's like, you know, again, it has to be established pregame for sure. But we'll try to have some fun with that. We'll take your calls and texts on it. Also, it's a Thursday, so Paul Charchian will join us. We'll talk some fantasy football with him. Danon Hughes going to be on the program. That's all coming up tomorrow. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day. C-Dot and Rob, come up next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.